Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know what else I just noticed now?
What
speaking of
notice?
This thing about Kathy,
yeah.
Toby's wife is also named Kathy.
Oh my God.
He's like, I was in the seminary for a while and then I dropped out because I wanted to sleep with this girl, Kathy. So I moved to Scranton and took the first job I could find in HR.
Ooh. Yep. All right. Well, let's share it.
Do we want to talk about that in the episode?
Wait, why? What's the other Kathy?
Were you listening?
Kathy Bates.
This girl sent us it's not a fan theory, but she said, one thing I've noticed is how many variations of Kathy is repeated. Mm-hmm. Katie, purse girl. Catherine, Michael talks about a hot coworker he totally could have slept with. Kathy, who's in the same delivery room as them. Kathy, who comes in and hits on Jim.
Pam's replacement.
Yep. Yeah. And then this is Kathy, Toby's wife.
Wow. Yeah. Bring it up. That's great. I like that.
I think we just did bring it up.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and a waste of life who should just give up, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes in human relations.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
When I was a kid, my parents got divorced. They both wanted custody and they both asked me to testify against the other one in court. So I don't know. I didn't want them to get divorced in the first place, you know. I love them both so much. I just wanted to...
Brown v. Board Education. Roe v. Wade. Ford v. Ferrari. All famous duels throughout history, but none so great as the one we are gathered here to discuss today. Michael v. Toby.
Nice.
That's right.
Nice one.
Yes. Yeah. Very excited to talk about this this dynamic in the show. As we've mentioned before, the character of Michael is too big and too, I guess he casts too much of a shadow over the show for us to sum him up in one episode. So we've been kind of carving it off in different dynamics. So, for example, we have Michael versus Toby today. We did Michael in Love, a few episodes back. So very excited to talk about this confrontation of man versus amorphous blob of khaki.
The Michael-Toby relationship. Yeah, every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office, except for last week I wasn't here. So thank you guys so much for holding it down.
We got you, buddy.
That was a great episode. Great little mailbag. I had a couple of things to add. Bad purchases segment. I just wanted to add that Kelly also does buy a bridesmaid dress when Michael says that he's going to get married to Holly after they've broken up.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another time that he will not reimburse her receipt.
Michael owes so many people money. So funny.
I loved that segment you guys did on cursing in The Office and some other great shows that I love. The cursing in The Good Place and Last Man on Earth with Will Forte. Will Forte always going saying friggin'
all
the time, which is just, I don't know, it's so funny. And then Kristen Bell always says forking shirt balls. Because you're not allowed to curse in the afterlife.
We had a lot of people send us their favorite moments where characters on The Office curse too, and I'm so glad that so many people did. Like, if there's any little thing like that you ever want to send us, don't hesitate. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, no, it was a great episode. So thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Also, Just a little follow up.
Yeah.
We had our cold open draft.
Oh yes.
Recently,
it was a cold draft.
Couple open episodes window. Ago. So mm-hmm. we have results on that. There were two places you could vote. You could vote on Tinder and on
Twitter.
on Tinder.
On Twitter.
Someone's going through profiles and suddenly it's like
left for.
Do we have a Tinder account for the podcast?
Swipe left for Alex, right for Sean, and up for me. if you super like my draft. Yeah.
You could vote on Tinder. We didn't get a lot of responses.
What about on Twitter? Did we get what? So I have my Google Docs or the Facebook results here.
I got Twitter right here, man.
What was the Twitter results?
On Twitter, it was just a vote of who won. I didn't include the actual results, but you guys got 22, each got about 22%. I got 55% of the
Jeez.
Votes. I cleaned up on Twitter. I think a lot of it just has to do with stress relief. I think getting the
number one pick. Yeah.
I got LeBron James.
That is one of the best.
I'm gonna win.
On Google, Alex, I'm sorry, you came in last. 28.9%.
Oh, f*** you guys.
I came in second, 34.2%. And Edward
baby.
Came in first, 36.8%.
Facebook's
votes.
Terrible.
Let's go.
So, you know, Edwin with the framed Toby, no God, please no. Injury, Michael Burns' foot, Tallahassee, Dwight wakes everyone up at the hotel, Andy's ancestry with Asian Jim, and did I stutter with Michael puts his face in the cement.
Tell him.
Congratulations.
All right, let's move on to Michael versus Toby, unless we have any more pressing topics.
I think that's everything.
No, God, please, no!
Michael Scott versus Toby Flenderson. Where do we begin?
I mean, I think this is such a perfect dynamic within the show because it is the actual workplace opposition between a manager who is trying to do whatever he wants, to have fun, to make a good time for other people in the office, to bring comedy, you know, and life and magic into the doldrums of the office, and the HR counterpart who is naturally going to try to, you know, curtail a lot of that.
Right.
So we see it kind of a lot in the early seasons. And then as it goes on, it gets more and more personal, I think, you know,
yes.
In a weird way. And we're not going to talk all about Toby's character because he's a little bit bigger than his, you know, confrontation with Michael. But I actually think this is in this regard, Toby is a very unique and interesting character, which is hilarious because Toby is portrayed as neither unique nor interesting in the show. But the way that his character kind of begins and just kind of pops up in little moments and then later on becomes kind of a punching bag for Michael, is super interesting, you know.
To put it in Michael's own words, here's how things work here. My job is to make the office fun. Your job is to make the office lame. We have an eternal struggle, you and I, and only one of us can be the winner. Spoiler alert, I'm going to win.
Wow, somebody doesn't like HR.
Yeah.
What did you do to him?
That's the moment. That's
when he's talking to Holly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holly just pushes Michael off balance in that moment, and he falls in love immediately.
Yeah.
Because of their hate for Toby.
Yeah. But I think that's interesting. There's a couple of things to Michael versus Toby, right? I mean, there's I think there's the infrastructure that keeps them fighting against each other, as you were saying, the manager just wants to do whatever they want. HR kind of represents corporate, kind of represents all the employees, so he's kind of standing up for them. Toby's kind of standing up for them when he does stand up for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that it gets pretty personal pretty fast with Michael and Toby.
Oh, like, right away. Almost immediately. Right away.
Yeah.
We learn about Toby's divorce from Michael.
Oh, yes, that's
immediately.
Right. That's right. So, like, that's one thing in season one that Michael hits on a lot, that Toby's is divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we had a listener email or something like that one time about how a fan theory that one of the reasons that Michael hates Toby so much is because he's divorced and Michael's parents are divorced. Right. We don't really know the intricacies of Michael's family's divorce, but we know that his mom remarried when he was like 10, 11 years old, something like that. What do you guys think about that? I think that's pretty valid. It's something that I never considered before.
It's never explored in the show. I mean, we're kind of, you know, we're making an assumption here, but, you know, I see it as valid, but it makes sense. Checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Toby just represents everything Michael hates in so many ways. And then, so I think that absolutely fits in with it. I mean, I can only imagine at some point previously to when we start to see The Office in like season one, like something must have happened that Michael just made a decision about Toby. Like, I really do not like this guy. Right. I don't like someone who can say no to me that I don't have power over. And maybe it reminds him of just not having power in his life, because he knows deep down, he's like, he doesn't have any power. He's a regional manager and that's it.
I think too, especially early on, Toby is the voice of corporate, right?
Yes.
Toby is, it almost is, you know, Kobe, or Toby, I almost said Kobe.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. But
Kobe Flinders.
Too soon.
All right,
yeah. Toby.
Oh my God.
That's when you miss.
Yeah. Toby is HR, so he's part of corporate, so he's not really part of our family.
Yes.
Toby's also divorced, so he's not technically a part of his family, right? So there's that. But, you know, and I think the very first appearance of Toby that we get is, I think, in Diversity Day.
Yeah.
When he walks in and he says, we're not all going to sit cross-legged Indian style, are we?
Get out.
Yeah. Everyone laughs. And then Michael says, get out. And Toby says, I'm sorry. And Michael says, no, this is not a joke, okay? That was offensive and lame, so double offensive. This is an environment of welcoming. And you should just get the hell out of here.
What a perfect early Office quote.
And that's
so good.
And that's where the line's drawn. But like in that moment, there's nothing to do with him being HR or whatever. It's just like Michael's going to unload on this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like it's so early on.
Well,
and
it's so funny too, because like I would say that as the show goes on, like Toby is actually pathetic for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And becomes more so in the very end of the show. But this is a moment where he's almost kind of cool, right? He just made a good joke. He just made a joke that everybody laughed at, right? Which is, of course, what Michael is always trying to do.
Yeah.
So he hates it. But in that very... But, like, Toby's kind of cool about it, too, the way he just kind of says it and walks in. Like, you know, I think he's not quite established as lame as he...
Toby has a very wry sensibility in the first few seasons. One that totally kind of fades away over the course of the show.
Yeah.
And he becomes more of a sad sack, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
The saddest.
Yeah, the case of the horrible sad sack. And the verdict, death.
Yeah.
Death to Toby. Death. I'm thinking of, you know, in the early seasons, obviously we have that moment where, you know, he makes that joke in Diversity Day, but I'm also thinking in Boys and Girls when he like subtly doesn't go downstairs for the seminar, you know, and he just kind of puts his, you know, he puts his finger to his lips to like tell the camera crew not to tell anyone, and he kind of slips back in. Or when Jim goes back to sit next to Kelly in the carpet in season two, and Toby, you know, Kelly says, Toby used to sit here, but he had to move because of an allergy, right?
Right.
There's kind of a funny sensibility about Toby in these in the early couple seasons.
I like when Toby's wry sense of humor comes up. I'm thinking of also Casino Night when Michael's saying, oh, and another fun thing, we at the end of the night are going to give the check to an actual group of Boy Scouts. Right, Toby? And Toby goes, actually, I didn't think it was appropriate to invite children since it's, you know, there's gambling and alcohol and it's in our dangerous warehouse and it's a school night and, you know, Hooters is catering. You know, is that enough? Should I keep going? he's totally making a joke there, but just delivered so dryly.
You have to give us the Michael quote after that.
Yes, please.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things you choose to be. Okay, you know what? I will not donate my winnings to Comic Relief since apparently it doesn't exist.
Yes, and it goes on. Yeah. That's one of my all-time favorite Michael quotes.
So good. God, I mean, that's the best.
You just Tommy gunned my trivia right there. Toby gunned.
So I think that some of the Michael to Toby put downs are some of the best quotes in the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Why are you the way that you are? I hate so much about the things you choose to be. That's one of the greatest lines.
I think too, in season two, we see a couple different instances where Toby is very much not just the voice of reason or the voice of no, but also like a piece of corporate. So in sexual harassment, right? He's, you know, part of the side with Jan, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the Christmas episode, he's, you know, we really shouldn't serve alcohol, right? That's the other thing. And then in this episode, when he kind of pulls back Michael's his idea to donate to, to the Boy Scouts and stuff. So we see that kind of pop up throughout the season. Another thing in season two that I think is really notable is in Booze Cruise. There's a deleted scene where Toby is not on the boat because he misses it on purpose.
Oh, right. That's right.
He runs down to the end of the dock, and Michael says, "Hey, you missed the boat, idiot." And Captain Jack says, "We can turn around." He says, "No, this is his punishment." And Toby turns to the camera and he goes, "Well, I guess I shouldn't have stopped for dinner."
He does that again, too. I forget when it is. It's not beach game because he wanted to go. It's beach day.
But it's beach day.
Everyone leaves, and then we see Toby, like, closes the door and, like, looks at the camera.
That's
and
in
goes,
Boys and Girls.
No, that's in Boys and Girls.
Yeah.
Right,
oh,
right.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what I was, referring to.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah,
missed it.
Yeah.
I was zoned out.
No, you're good. You're good.
I was trying to find some more trivia questions.
do you guys notice or think about, is there a pattern that you guys see over the course of Michael versus Toby? I think it gets a little bit more, not more personal, but like they get more and more hurtful, I think, over time. Is there a sort of arc or a narrative that you guys see between Michael and Toby? In their interactions and their conflicts and stuff?
Other than the eternal foes?
I wonder if just before season one, Michael was irritated with Toby, but as soon as the camera showed up and he's the one person standing up to him, like, that just drove him crazy. And now it gets brutal as it goes on. And then I guess after nepotism, maybe there's a softening, because we should talk about, too, after nepotism, to avoid getting fired, Michael has to go through therapy sessions.
Counseling,
and all of his all the HR reps are licensed therapists or counselors or something like that. So he has to go through counseling with Toby, which of course is at first, you know, very they fight a lot. But
I think you bring up, like, that counseling. As far as wrapping up an arc of Michael and Toby, to me, there's, like, the three main episodes for theirs are Goodbye Toby, Frame Toby, and counseling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those are, like, the three for this dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because it ends with counseling, and it's the only time in the show that we start to actually look at Michael's psyche and, like, what makes Michael Scott the way he is. Like, it is really important information. I mean, important within the universe of The Office. Mm-hmm. Of the entire show... Like, Michael is the nucleus that everything is sort of orbiting around. And all of his insecurities and all of his fears are what drives so much plot and story in The Office.
Yeah.
And before he leaves in season seven, we get just a couple lines of them actually talking about this. And I think, like, it's some of the most important scenes on The Office. And even just, like, when Toby slowly actually becomes a little more effectual, I think that's sort of... where this arc goes is it starts out, Michael has zero respect for Toby, and he never gets more respect for Toby. But Toby slowly gets a little better, and then as actually doing HR, compare it to when he's like, we really shouldn't have booze, Michael shows up with 15 bottles of booze. He's not that effectual. But by the end, I mean, Toby's learned to take the punches enough, and maybe it's something that it bothers Michael so much is that Toby... opposes Michael in such a bland corporate way.
Right. And
that sort of changes, I think, at the end, because they start to get more personal.
Well, here's the thing. So first, just as a quick aside, I would disagree that Toby gets better. There's a line later in the show where he goes, Aaron, HR is a joke. I can't do anything about anything.
Right? It's angry Andy. Yeah. She's trying
I meant to say, Until Michael leaves, Toby becomes kind of a different character.
Sure.
And entirely terrible. But up until then, I think he's, you know,
but to your point, I actually think, you know, so in season seven, what we see from Michael is this immense amount of character development that culminates in Goodbye Michael, where he's actually in a different place mentally and he's very settled and he can move on in a very meaningful way. And I think, like, the reason that happens is because of counseling with Toby. It's hilarious to think that happens, but counseling is the first step where we actually begin to see then character development for Michael. Also, so much of that has to do with Holly and their relationship. But, right, if you think about it, it stands to reason that Michael actually getting some sort of therapy would lead to an improvement in his life and overall mental well-being. You know?
Sure.
Which is a crazy thing to think about.
It's true for most people.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Right.
Yeah. But, well, yeah. And so much of it, in Michael's well-being, it has to do with Holly, mm-hmm. like meeting Holly. And right. Toby is yet again this sort of obstacle, especially when he comes back. Like his, it's like this woman he's fallen for in every way has mm-hmm. been replaced by Toby. And it's right, just like another reason for Michael to just being like, you are the reason that my life is bad.
Right, right.
And he just has somebody to just punch.
I love that you brought up Holly again, though, because I think that it's interesting how the Michael-Toby dynamic kind of like echoes itself throughout the show. And mm-hmm. I think one of those ways is the fact that the person that he ultimately falls in love with is working the same position that is his sworn enemy for most of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how the turntables.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I mean, we could probably just talk about the counseling for almost this whole episode. I just want to point out there. Obviously, they start to play games, and Toby kind of pulls one on Michael.
Oh yeah, he does. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess what you were saying earlier, he is very capable. He shows some capabilities in this moment that he does not show in any other real moment. That one-on-one sort of nature, Toby. Of Toby. Yeah, is very different. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Because he shows off he's got the certificate, and he's like,
I think there's a chance to do some good here.
And he's like, yes, HR is a joke, but he's like, I could actually maybe in HR isn't exactly like he wanted to be a priest. You know,
right.
It's in his nature, I feel like, to listen and to help.
Yeah.
And HR is not really a good way for him to do that. But he does finally break through to Michael.
Oh, God. Think about what is it? Conflict resolution, right? Mm-hmm. Where Michael, you know, finds out that everyone's been turning in their complaints to Toby, and he listens to them. He writes it down. He files it away.
And, redacted. Redacted.
I mean, Michael thinks he can solve these problems, and Toby's just like, no.
Cage match.
Hey, man, they just want to listen. They just need someone to listen to them. But yeah, that's another great episode.
There's the moment when Toby points out to Michael that in the convict, when he's like, they're teasing you. Like, obviously, people like it here. We can go home. We have lives. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's this one time when, I mean, sometimes Toby's there to just be like a bowling bumper for Michael as he's just going all over the place. And he's like, look, it's actually we're on your side. It happens again when, at the deposition when he's like, I'm on your side, Michael. He's like, no, I don't want him here. I want him gone. I'm on your side.
Or in the negotiation when he says, you know, Jan says, all right, make sure you bring your HR rep. And he goes, no, I'm bringing Daryl from the warehouse. Yeah. Right. No, bring HR or bring Toby. He's you know, your HR rep, you know. And then, you know, he walks up to Toby and he says, come on, we need to go. And he's like, where are we going? I'm going to smack you in the head with a hammer.
Right. Toby goes with him because he can't stand to listen to Kelly and Ryan.
That's something too, you know. I don't know if Michael intended to punish me by moving Ryan back to the annex, but if he did, genius.
There's something about Toby. I think part of what drives Michael nuts about Toby is he wants Toby to like personally come back at Michael. Like he's like, I need a foe who's as strong as I am. And he hates that Toby isn't, because Toby always takes this sort of third road. This is most evident when in frame, Toby puts Caprese salad in his drawer and Toby's like, you know, the cops could have been doing something else. And he's like, oh my God, like, you worried about the taxpayer? Like, he's like, he wants taxpayer. Toby to just like hit him. And he spends that whole episode is him trying to get Toby fired by just making him act out. And Toby's impossible to make act out.
Yeah.
And Michael just can't stand it because they're so different as people. And whenever Toby sort of takes this high road, Michael's like reminded that he's a lot more adolescent than Toby is. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes fun of Toby's divorce, but like, at least Toby's been married. Like, at least Toby has a kid. You know, and all these, there's like so many things about Toby that remind Michael of why Michael doesn't like himself, which leads to counseling.
That's a point that I wanted to make too, that just I think that a lot of the things you hear Michael make fun of Toby for are things that he could say about himself.
Sure.
Like the, you're going to be alone forever. Nobody likes you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know,
well, he says, Michael, we want to go home, right? In the fight in season two. You don't even have anyone to go home to. You know?
It's like, well,
That's interesting that, you know, that point that a lot of the things that he makes fun of Toby, he could say about himself. I think we're stretching a little bit if we're saying that, like, to a certain extent, like, if we're saying that Michael sees this negative side in Toby that's reflected, like, it's we're going a little far in, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but I think for the most part, like,
why do you think that?
I mean, we can't just like guess entirely about Michael's psyche. Like, we see glimpses of it, right?
Sure.
But we are making an assumption. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, but yeah, but he's not a real person.
I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just that like we can't like, yeah. Well, Michael is this way because he sees this and because he sees this.
But
like,
that's what we're. Well, yeah, okay, but
I just think we're going a little far.
Well, I don't think there's any harm in trying to go that far.
I'm not saying that it's harmful. It's just that we're going, yeah.
I actually think, no, we do see it. Like, that's why I'd say canceling is, like, some of the most important scenes in the show, because mm-hmm. I think that's what we do learn of all these things. And
right.
Like when he's like, when my, they're like, Toby says, it's really sad your dog ran away. Why'd you keep it from going to the park? And Michael's like, I'm afraid I would find him playing with another kid. And Toby's, why? You know, dogs don't do that. And Michael's like, yeah, dogs don't do that, do they? Mm-hmm. I do think you just get a couple of, like, you just start to see Michael's always had this lifelong fear of being alone and rejected. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's exactly what he makes fun of Toby about, mm-hmm. is being alone and not having a family, mm-hmm. and being this boring corporate guy.
And not having friends.
And that's like, yeah. And I feel like that's exactly who Michael is also.
Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I think it's interesting. I'm not saying you're incorrect. Yeah. I just think trying to think of the right way to put it, but like, I don't know if it applies every single time that Michael.
No,
of course not.
Like, the simplest answer, right? Occam's razor, right? Is mm-hmm. that Toby is obstructing him,
right?
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Yeah, yeah. But it is interesting. You know what I mean? I'm not
just
saying
looking
that
at the arc of their relationship,
and maybe the divorce is like a you know, an Achilles heel, like, or he knows that he can.
I
just think when we start going down, like, well, Michael sees that Toby is divorced and Michael has wanted to be married and Michael's mm-hmm. parents were divorced. Like, that, if we connect too many of these dots, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, we're not saying this for Michael, sure.
I know. Like, I'm just saying that this is something that I'm noticing in the pattern of our discussion.
Yeah,
here,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I'm just theorizing.
It's just theorizing.
That's the whole point of this show. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
Too far.
It went too far on Toby, I guess. All right. Well, we'll dial it back.
No, no, no. It's fine. Oh my gosh. All right.
There's other.
Thank you, doctor. Take two of these and call me in the morning. Yeah. You can't help anyone.
Since when is it illegal to put crazy salad anywhere?
I think in terms of progression, and I was kind of hinting at this earlier,
yeah.
but like, I think there is something to be said of the way that it grows between Michael's animosity for Toby between season one and then in season four with Goodbye Toby, right? Like, you talked about these major episodes. And these are the ones that we would naturally gravitate to, of Goodbye Toby, Frame Toby, and then Counseling, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that happens in between, you know, Michael, his relationship with Toby in season two, and then getting to the point where he's literally dancing, thinking about him leaving and singing,
right.
you know,
right.
Supertramp. Yeah. So I think it's interesting the way that the writers, I think, choose to go from, you know, build him up. They realize the humor in Michael going after Toby.
Totally.
And Toby just kind of accepting it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like to your point, Toby takes it and he takes it into a very neutral sort of mediating sort of direction. Mm-hmm. But
in that same episode, when the camera's just panning around, the fireworks, the music, and everyone's like, wow. And then just over yeah. to Toby, who's like, what has happened here?
Yeah.
Like, that, it's just all in that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is just something so funny about just like the person who takes the brunt of it. Just mm-hmm. has little to
he's
no
so,
reaction.
He's so mild.
He's
yeah.
so emotionless.
Right, yeah.
Really
I think you guys mentioned it too in your last episode, but it was like one of Michael's biggest purchases is that party that he throws
oh, yeah.
for Toby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I put some money in my shoe.
I don't want your foot money.
Until now. I don't want your foot money.
I love the way Angela pushes it away with the pen. It's just a
Phyllis, can you do this?
Yes. Yeah. And you're right. It is as simple as like Toby's a hurdle. He's mm-hmm. an obstacle. Mm-hmm. And Michael fancies himself as a free soul who's very mm-hmm. creative and very funny. Mm. And Toby's none of those things. Like you said, an amorphous blob of khaki. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that Michael despises.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. I do think at some point, I think the show had to dive into like, all right, why does Michael hate Toby so much?
Of course.
Like, at some point, you got
to
go.
I think it's a natural endpoint to the writers deciding like, well, wow, this is really funny.
Yes.
When Michael really crushes Toby. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you build up to it. So you do get sort of this tension release moment with Counseling, where we kind of investigate mm-hmm. what's going mm-hmm. on in Michael's brain a little bit, mm-hmm. which I think is really funny. Yeah.
It's intense, though. I mean, the way Michael reacts when he's like, you bitch. And then he
you
starts
son of a gun.
And he's like, you can't help anyone. You couldn't help your marriage. Like he gets immediately becomes so mean. And it's like, that's what a little kid does when you call out, or like, it's what a child would do.
That is one of the times when Toby finally like breaks and it's just like, just fill it out yourself.
You marked severe.
Yeah. For everything.
Tell me.
when Gabe points that out and the little laugh Toby gives, it's so defeated. Just like,
you know what though? I think too, this is kind of an interesting topic where the moments where Toby gets a little bit of he can laugh at Michael a little bit. Like that's, and I don't mean to say he's laughing at Michael in this moment, but like where it kind of flips.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where like Toby basically gives up.
Yes.
But Michael kind of, you know, almost, we don't know if Michael subconsciously or consciously checked all the boxes. Right.
Right. It's sabotaged.
But
himself.
It does flip. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't mean to say that Michael or Toby is laughing at Michael in this situation, but it reminds me of a moment where Toby does laugh in the deposition when they're reading.
Oh, God.
When they're reading.
Yes.
The journal. And who's this Ryan who you describe as just as hot as Jam, but in a different way? not more like a cool best friend type.
Yeah. You know?
And then are we trying to figure out when Michael and Jan had a relationship? Not Michael and this Ryan. You know?
Yeah.
Toby starts laughing. He can't handle it, right?
He's just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Also in Casino Night, he's like, I don't normally play cards, but felt really good to take Michael from money. I'm going to chase that feeling.
I think I'm going to chase that feeling. Mm-hmm.
That happens pretty early on.
Yeah.
I have good cards.
Yeah,
I have good cards.
Mm-hmm. I have good cards.
I went all in, doesn't he? That's such a funny scene. Like, and it just sets, it's just like, they're such a good job of setting up these little ways that like Toby is just bugging Michael. And he's like, why wouldn't you fold?
Toby.
Or in
Toby.
Yeah. In the negotiation when they're sitting together, you know, and Michael and Jan are going back and forth. And Michael says, okay, no, you're going to play like this? You give me a good raise or no more sex. And Toby starts to write stuff down. Yes, and Michael turns to Toby and says, what are you writing, perv ball? And Toby says, just preparing for the deposition. And then in the talking head, he says, this may be the first time that a male subordinate has attempted to get a modest scheduled raise by threatening to withhold sex from a female superior. It will be a groundbreaking case when it inevitably goes to trial.
One moment that's kind of heartwarming at the very end of counseling, when you like the moment you mentioned of like, you know, well, maybe unless part of you made that mistake on purpose, talking about the forms. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a moment when Michael mimics Gabe and he's like, I mess everything up so I can fix it and keep my job.
Oh, that's right.
Because I do nothing. I make everybody nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. They both
and they just kind of laugh at Gabe, who's yet another corporate figurehead.
Right.
And and they both laugh at that. And it's sort of like, oh, what? It's like, yeah, they both get it, you know, and Michael is growing. I mean, the whole season 7 is Michael.
That's the Michael breakthrough is where he makes fun of Gabe instead of Toby. And then at the end of this talking head, he says, okay, got your notebook? All right. Let's bang this out. Let's do this. Right. Mm-hmm. There is an element of actually addressing his problem, you know, or at least engaging with the thing that he has to get through.
Right.
Yeah. Versus screaming about it and complaining.
It's almost too fast to turn around. But but I do like that moment still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other favorite quotes from the Michael Toby relationship? I tried to talk to Toby and be his friend, but that is like trying to be friends with an evil snail. I feel like I'm dying inside.
The whole raid on Tescott, which I don't think we even brought up in the cold opens.
What?
It's the cold open is
raid on Tescott. Oh yeah.
And you just see Michael here it is.
So the episode is The Chump. It's in season 6.
Okay. Yeah.
This here is a radon test kit. Okay, I'll be putting them everywhere. And please don't throw these out. Please don't throw these out. This is a radon test kit.
The way that Michael turns around.
Yeah, the animosity.
The strain in his neck.
Yeah.
And he holds it. There's a really good blooper from that scene.
Toby has been leaving radon kits everywhere like he owns the place. The first time I threw mine away, I thought it was an ant trap. But I'd rather live with ants than with this creepy little disc. The second time, I thought it was, you know, those things where you turn it over and it moves, like a cow thing. But upon closer examination, it was another ant trap, so I threw it away. And the third time, I did it out of spite.
The way he holds it up to the camera, throws it in the trash. Are you serious? You say these
You're
are
kidding
silent.
Me. God, you say radon is silent but deadly, and then you expect me to not make farting noises with my mouth? What is this? And I love too. He goes, you know what? We're not going to die of radon. We're going to die of boredom. And everybody laughs. I think that's so funny that everybody laughs.
Well, that's what energizes him then to get up and be like, you know what more? Here's one more.
Kill if Toby I had,
twice. Yeah. If I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby, I would shoot Toby twice.
But, you mentioned this, but like that Michael says these crazy hurtful things and they pan to Toby and he's just straight faced. Like,
just sitting there.
Just totally neutral, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, Michael.
Yeah, right. I love in season 6 in Little Liberty when they were talking about things that they're trying to keep Pam from, distract Pam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, nobody touch Pam's nipples. Think of Pam's nipples as Toby's grundle. So much. I mean, and look, we talked about Goodbye Toby, and granted, we've talked about that episode, like in another episode of our show.
Whoever's name is Toby, why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Oh my!
That's a really good one. I'm just thinking of the exit interview when Toby says, we still have to do the exit interview. Michael's face lights up.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the exit interview.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And it's like Michael has been writing and working on that talk. Because the way he jumps into it, because like Toby starts to say something and Michael's just like,
can I just say
yes.
that of all the idiots and all the idiot villages and all the idiot worlds, you stand alone, my friend. Then Holly comes in, you know.
Yeah.
The wind goes out of his sails then, so fast.
Holly comes in for the exit interview, and Michael tries to get her out, and he goes, no, this is very boring stuff. Why don't you take a tour? Have you seen the Baylor?
Baylor? He loves the Baylor.
And then Pam comes in, and Toby says, no, Pam, stay. In like such a nice, innocent way, right?
Yeah. 6 seconds, it goes to a room full of people, and Michael's just like, boy.
What changes would you make here at Dunder Mifflin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I brought the binder. Do you want to take a look? What would you improve about Dunder Mifflin? Right. And then I've got some ideas, I guess. That's where Michael turns and puts his hands in front
of
his face.
Both hands and just says,
I'll kill you. Yeah. Right. And he goes, I guess everything is okay.
That's something I would, the things in the office we never get to see. I would like to see a full speech from Toby of everything that Michael's done and like everything he would change about the office. Like really get it all out. But. Nope.
He gives Toby the rock with a post-it on it with a rubber band that just says suck on this. And then Michael walks out into the
First we get a great little one of those moments where Pam goes, Michael.
Yeah.
And Michael says, what do you mean, Michael? That's not even my handwriting. Hey, what the hell is going on here? Who thought it would be hysterical to give Toby a rock for his going away gift?
Hysterical.
You did. No. You made me rap it. I thought it was over the line.
Yeah, like he makes Dwight do it. Like, what is
you
that?
Made me rap it.
Michael, I'm sure, can't rap.
I thought it was over the line.
That's the more than like implicating, like, yes, Michael, remember we talked about this. No, you made me rap it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was over the line.
Can you? That's like another testament to Dwight's complete dedication to Michael, gift wrapping a rock for Toby, even though he thinks it's over the line.
Yeah.
I think it's too that, and this is another moment where Toby kind of backs down, right?
Yeah.
So he almost chooses peace at all costs, right?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Very much, I think, how he probably sees his role in the office.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's a peacekeeper and he does it all the time. A couple inconsistencies, though.
Oh, sure.
Michael does not roast Toby when he comes back in and roasts everyone. It seems weird.
Oh.
Maybe Toby's not sitting there. Maybe he's not in the room.
Hey,
and
Michael knows that you only roast the ones you love.
Right, that's true.
Which
that's true. And I don't think Toby roasts Michael on stage, does he?
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't think Toby gets up there.
I want to say, does he kick him off the stage?
No, friends only.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I would have loved to see that, too. He probably knows Toby's got a lot to say, but...
Para ti.
That's my favorite one. It's just the cut to Oscar.
There's another one that I really love between Michael and Toby. You think about how, Toby chooses
like right this higher road, right? Mm-hmm. In all these moments, right? He chooses not to hit Michael, even though Michael slaps the pictures out of his hands, right?
I'm not gonna hit you.
Right, he's on the ground picking up the photos, and Ryan says, "Man, you should have hit him once in a lifetime, man." Right? Or in the exit interview, right, when he doesn't speak up about how he could improve Dunder Mifflin, right? There is a moment in season 6 in Double Date after Michael breaks up with Helene on her birthday at the restaurant.
Yes.
Right. And Toby, you know, is like, "Pam, can I talk to you for a second? You know, I heard about the hit. Just make sure it's off company property, right?" And then he starts to walk away and he goes, "Okay." And the power comes from the back foot. So it's all in one motion through the body. So you stay a little low and there's a twist. You keep your shoulder down and you just kind of throw out the arm. Pow. And then Pam gets up and she's saying, "Okay, wait, you're saying it comes from the foot?" And they punch in the hand, right? Like, Toby is using Pam as a proxy,
you know,
to really get his revenge on Michael. That's, I think that's so funny.
It's hysterical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though, it's funny, too, because, like, Toby is so awkward with Pam, but in that moment, he's not. Because we know that Toby has a crush on Pam. Mm-hmm. But, like, in that, there is something about...
Anyone have a camera?
Yeah.
Anyone have a camera here?
But you kind of assume that just from the... Just because he cares so much about wanting to see her hit Michael, he can talk to her now. I'm watching this GIF over and over again on my computer.
I'm seeing that.
Of Michael
checking
Toby on the hockey rink.
Toby taking a hit pretty well.
Which is pretty incredible. I'm watching it over and over again just to be like, wow, it really is. They're both doing that stunt.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
I've never noticed Michael's wearing a USA Hockey jersey.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, good. It's good.
That's a hard hit, yeah.
It's a hard hit. It looks good.
And the little pump he does afterwards. As
one leg pump. He's got one leg up in the air while skating.
USA,
It's pretty amazing. Any other thoughts here? Any quotes we didn't get to? Moments we didn't get to?
Michael's doing sensitivity training. He says, "You are a waste of life. You should give up," is what I would say. immediately has to backtrack, right? Or there's a time when Toby has to stop in Diwali. He has to stop the meeting about the Kama Sutra and Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's like, "Cause Toby is too immature. He's talk about sex," right? He's like, "People are doing it. Yeah. I'm doing it with Carol probably later tonight."
There's a time when it's Michael's birthday and Toby comes in and is like, "Oh, donuts." And Michael's somebody got donuts for my birthday. And he's like, "Oh, happy birthday." And he's like, "You didn't know it was my birthday." I guess I forgot. He's like, "Well, I guess I forgot to give you a donut." He shuts it on him.
He shuts it, and then Toby leaves, and he reopens it and gets back in the original spot.
Yeah,
it's a funny little move. I love the moment when the watch alarm goes off while Toby's wearing the watch that Michael gave him.
Oh, yeah, at 5 o'clock, right?
He sets it for when Toby's done with his last day. It's just a great little touch. It's great. I love that Toby ends up with the Seiko timepiece after all this.
That's right. That's such a great touch.
The whole scene obviously the whole "No God Please No," that whole scene is just so great. We've talked about it a few times, in recent episodes.
It was your cold open draft.
Yeah, and just the way that when Toby's not there and Michael's just looking around, like, great joke, great prank, Jim.
Yeah,
it's just this moment of like Michael's life is still good because Toby's
maybe
not in
it. Maybe you should go back there and see.
Yeah.
I mean, you played the drop at the beginning of the show, but during the deposition when they go to lunch and Toby's trying to be nice to Michael and is sharing this
truly
devastating story.
Empathize,
Which, by the way, is another time that the writers might have forgotten that they've already used this story. They bring it back with Will Ferrell. he says that he needed to choose. His parents made him choose between them during their divorce.
Did they?
You remember that?
No. Huh.
Yeah.
He's like, Michael's like, tell me something like tragic that happened in your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, TMI.
Oh yeah.
But he's telling this. He's telling him this story, and Michael just pushes his lunch off the table. It gets up and walks away.
I think, another, this is a really amazing sort of picture, but it's Michael and Toby at the end of Frame Toby, after, the cops come and Michael says, "God, welcome back, jerky jerk face," right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the two of them, they're sitting in the conference room together. They're doing a talking head together, so it's a two-shot, right? It's the two of them. And Michael says, you said you were leaving, and you made liars out of all of us. So, and Toby says, I did leave. Michael says, yes, you did. And then you came back, which makes you the biggest liar of history. Toby, I don't see it that way. Michael, do you want to hear a lie? Toby, what? Michael, I think you're great. Yes. You're my best friend.
I love that one. I think you're great.
Trying to be friends with an evil snail. Yeah.
I think another important episode for their dynamic is Survivor Man. Because of we see Michael obviously grooming Ryan as his protege. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's really good friends with Ryan. Ryan gets the corporate job and turns around and doesn't bring Michael on Ryan's cool retreat.
Right.
And takes Toby instead. Yet another nail in Toby's coffin for Michael.
Jeez, yeah.
Who's just like, this guy, are you kidding? And Toby comes back and he's tan. No more s'mores.
He even gets a laugh from everybody in the break room. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, Toby's generally liked, right? I think like his approval rating.
It's amazing. We slept under the stars. Yeah.
Like, everyone in the office likes Toby, generally.
Generally,
you know? It's like, I don't feel like the writers ever make a decision. Like, it seems like it goes back and forth of everyone who likes making fun of Toby and also everyone likes Toby.
I brought it up earlier that there's kind of like echoes of this relationship where, you know, Jim becomes manager. All of a sudden, he's becoming critical of Toby.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact quote time, but it's... okay, Toby.
I love Toby, but sometimes he's a little much, you know.
Yeah.
I love in the end of season 6 when Michael breaks up.
It's a party, Toby.
When Michael breaks up with Donna and they're like trying to prepare for the Michael has broken up and they've got, you know, the Eagles ice cream, you know, and Kevin watching movies in the break room.
Yep.
Toby comes out and goes, no, Toby, my God. Like they like shoo him back to the annex, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right before that, by the way, Toby's a little much. Toby says, my birthday was 2 months ago. Jim, okay. But there was no party. What? Well, there was, but Michael scheduled for 4:58 on a Friday.
<That's right.
laughs> You know, people sang in the parking lot.
Okay.
Do you remember when...
Jim says, I remember that.
Do you remember Benihana Christmas where Dwight comes up to Michael? He says, wear a short one robe. And he says, take it from Toby. He's like in the throes of his breakup. Take it from Toby. He goes, hey, Dwight. And then he just grabs it away. Yep. Right?
Oh. And the way, and then
why?
Why? And later you see Toby patting Kevin on the shoulder and just feeling
the lingering. Yeah.
That's a great moment.
Michael versus Toby. It's the great one of the greatest dynamics
MVT.
Of the show.
Alien versus
so
Predator.
Fun. I mean,
you
I know
gave a great list.
We bring
at
the it
top.
Up all the time, and we're gonna have to do an episode about Toby.
Yeah, eventually we'll do a Toby only. Yeah,
we'll take some time now, but we'll let him subside. But we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot to say about Toby.
Go ahead.
We're at this point of the show.
In frame Toby when Michael first comes back and he says, well, Mr. Kurt Westerl, you're about to be served, you know? And he goes in and he's asking Toby about it. And he's so angry. And Toby is just speaking so normally. And he's like, wow, it was amazing. Thank you for asking, you know? He says, you know, pristine beaches. Right, and he goes, nice beaches. Beaches were pristine, right? And then, you know, he says, "Why did you come back? Why didn't you stay?" It was actually kind of hard to meet people. I found, I bet for you, and yeah. Plus, it was hot. And Michael is hot. Why didn't you get yourself an air conditioner? Should have gotten an air conditioner for yourself.
That's what.
Are you
like,
all right, Michael? He goes, yeah, I am. Yeah.
That's what he's like. I tried. Mm-hmm. I tried to talk to Toby and be his friend,
but it's like trying to be friends with an evil. Snail. I feel like I'm dying inside. I feel like Neve Campbell in Scream 2.
Yeah,
you think she can go off to college and be all happy, and then the murderer comes back and starts killing off all her friends. I learned a lot of lessons for that movie. This is just one of them.
That
should have bought yourself an air conditioner.
That whole call with David Wallace is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
The 911 thing, and then it ends. Oh, yeah. You got to get along with Toby, or you have to have cause.
It is because I hate him.
Michael, is everyone okay? I'm afraid not. Toby Flenderson of HR has made a sudden reappearance. I don't understand. Has anyone heard? Not on the surface, no. But I can tell people are disturbed, David.
Oh, God. It's so funny. It's really one of the most fun parts of the show. It's there from the beginning to, you know, Michael's departure pretty much. And then
Andy picks up the torch.
Toby kind of becomes a different character seasons 8 and 9. But we'll get to that. But,
Toby tries on a new persona.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Michael leaves.
Yeah.
In the search committee, you know. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm thinking of something later. Excuse me. Mm. I'm thinking of when Toby becomes Lloyd Gross.
Oh, right.
That's right.
That's later. Yeah. That's in Branch Warden season 8. My mistake.
Yeah, it's all good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah, if any, if you guys, if there's anything we missed,
I'm sure we did.
Inevitably, we missed something.
Yeah.
But please tell us your favorite Michael versus Toby moments.
Yeah.
We always love to hear them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. We always get comments that's like, I can't believe you guys didn't mention this. We actually love those comments. So please, please write to us. Let us know what we missed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's time for a conference room.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, everybody, listen up. If you are not in that conference room in 2 minutes, I am going to kill you.
How do you
start it?
Okay, do it.
I think we each have a little something.
We each have a little something.
A little show and tell, guys.
So I was a little bummed. I ordered something from Amazon, and it didn't all come at once.
Oh, poor baby.
But maybe this is better anyway, so I can spread it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As a thank you for you guys covering the show last week, I wanted to get you both a treat. Alex's treat arrived. Edwin's will arrive in time for the next recording.
He will assemble it to find himself in jail. No, so wait, he's got it here. He's got it here. He's got a knife.
He's got a knife. He's chopping off Phyllis's head with a chainsaw.
I'm giving Alex a box.
Okay,
it's not
0.8 pounds.
Looking all right.
It's
unnecessary.
It's about as much as Michael's Caprese salad weighed.
Two pounds.
Yeah.
$500. Okay.
The suspense is killing me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing bubble wrap. Oh, my God. Oh.
Whoa.
I got a Dundee.
The Dundies.
I got a Dundee.
There it
Hell
is.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wait, you guys got to stay. I got Vienna sausages and napkins.
Oh, dude, thank you, man.
Of course, man. Yeah, we gotta keep building out our collection.
It's a real trophy. Yeah.
It's going to be a real letdown when my gift comes and it's a rock with a post-it note that says, suck on this.
Oh, it's a beautiful Dundee.
That's, thank you, man. So yeah, much. Of course,
I'm going to treasure it.
Of course, of course.
Spicy curry, what's that mean?
This says Bushiest Beaver, Sean. Yeah.
It's a bowler.
Yeah, it just says Dundee Award for the people at home, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the salesman on it. Came from Amazon. There's a lot of people out there selling Dundees on Amazon.
I'm sure.
So I don't know.
It's like this and Baby Yoda stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be
made. This one was advertised as the Will Ferrell Special Dundee Award, and there's nothing Will Ferrell mm-hmm. about it.
Looks like Gordon Gekko.
But it does look like
Ryan dressed as Gordon Gekko.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. So suspenders right. under there, probably.
From the insurance commercials.
Dude, thank you, man. I appreciate
course,
it.
Of course, my dude. Of course. All right.
I've got a quick one, and this is just a little bit of an Easter egg. So this comes from the carpet in season 2, episode 14, where Michael is talking about Ed Truck and how much he didn't like Ed Truck. And there's that picture of Michael and Ed, and I'll show you guys on my computer real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael and Ed, and Michael has the long hair, and he's shaking hands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's become a meme, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, totally.
But if you can stop, you can actually read the little insert of what they put in the text columns. It's nice. Pretty funny. So on the right, it says, Top Salesman Award. Welcome to yet another exciting edition of the Dunder Mifflin Employee Newsletter. Thanks to all of the staff and new contributing writers for putting this together for all of you. And also many thanks to the folks at Design Town for printing this up for us.
Design Town.
Hopefully, you will find a lot of useless information contained herein that will help you do your job better, faster, and quicker, and cheaper, and happier.
Wait, it says useless?
Mm-hmm. As anybody, this is the column on the side of the newsletter.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just a block of text that's supposed to fill the space.
Right. Oh, right.
But I
wanted to read exactly. Yeah. This was your freshman year.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to read all the text. As anyone can easily tell, this newsletter doesn't really have a lot to say. It's really just a prop to fill some space and sort of look like a newsletter without really being much of a newsletter at all. By typing a lot of words in two columns on the front of this page, we can achieve the look of a newsletter without really reporting much news or provide any real information to the reader at all. In fact, at times, we can probably get away with not using real English words, such as or the much-beloved shark. These words can also be strung together to form a sentence, paragraph, or even a whole prop book, magazine, or newspaper. And it just repeats.
So that's amazing. I didn't know about that. But, you know, we've talked about before, like, how we were, like, you know, should mm-hmm. talk more about what we do in the real world. But, like, you know, I work in the art department. We do a lot of graphics and stuff like that. I just did a newspaper the other day. So it's like you always have to just fill it with all kinds of text.
Art department for TV and movies.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that's hysterical. That is so funny that somebody actually took the time to do that.
Yeah.
Because there's like the lorem ipsum. Do you know what that is?
Right.
That's
totally.
The filler text that like people use it a lot for like web design and stuff. It's just kind of an idea. Like,
text.
You know, it's like Latin. Mm-hmm. But it's like that's a faux pas. That's if you use lorem ipsum on camera, mm-hmm. like you're a scumbag. I will copy and paste some things if I know that it's really not going to be featured, because you're not supposed to do that. Technically that's plagiarism, but it is difficult to sometimes find, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to go to the writers and be like, hey, I mean, I think we're going to see this newspaper. Will you write something for it? And they'll be like, no, we don't sleep as it is. Like, and then you have to be like, okay, well, I guess either I can try at this or, you know, mm-hmm. like, so I actually do tend to like funny, to write funny things, and people mm-hmm. tend to like catch them every now and then. So that's hysterical. I love that.
Oh, there's a second little blurb where the headline is just Michael Scott achieves top sales honors for Scranton for the third straight quarter. And then it says, the text is, for all of you who missed it, last weekend's 80s party was truly the party to end all parties. Everyone was in good spirits all night, including our esteemed visitors from the corporate office. Music was provided by Phil and the Shays. And a special thank you should go out to all those who help with lighting and decorations.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's clearly the kind of thing, I mean, you know, you talk about doing it, you know, on stuff you're working on now, but like back when this show came out, there was even less of a thing where you would be able to pause and really look at something like this, right?
Yeah.
It was airing on network TV, right? Unless you either bought the DVD or taped it or some sort of way,
right?
How would you even think to look at this?
Right.
Yeah, totally. Sean, do you still have your list of bands, heavy metal bands?
Oh, yeah. Well, So, I mean, that's just one example. But like for Green Room, which was a movie I worked on, it's mm-hmm. on Netflix, I think. But we had to come up with it's like a neo-Nazi horror film and had a lot of punk band posters in it. And no one wanted to be associated with it, for good reason. So we just came up with like 150, you know, fake band names, which was one of the most fun projects I've ever done.
We used to live
together. They're horrible.
Our old house, we used to live together. I remember like sitting on the back porch and you just read your whole list. And I could not stop laughing. It was so...
some of them are truly awful, but that was the whole... Yeah, Dad sucks.
Still have that list, do you?
I do somewhere. Yes,
gotta
definitely.
See that list again, dude.
Almost
so
certainly.
Funny.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Yeah. Anyway, that's good stuff.
But well, Alex, time for you. You have a something.
Oh yeah, I was just going to share something from a listener here.
Sure.
Just because I thought this was, we've gotten a lot of alternate castings and we like sort of different takes on them. And Chloe from Vancouver, BC, wrote us in and did one all bands. And I actually thought,
oh cool,
it was very accurate. I think she just nailed every single one here. So nice. I'm just going to run through these real quick. Okay, Michael Scott, Weird Al Yankovic. Perfect.
Yes.
Dwight Schrute, Rammstein.
oh my God. That's
Jim
so
Halpert,
good.
Weezer.
Ooh.
Great.
Yeah,
great
that's
call.
Good. Yeah.
Pam Beasley, Michelle Branch, or alternate Jewel. Andy Bernard, obviously, Dave Matthews Band.
Doesn't Jewel sing their song, Roy and Pam's song?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yes.
Good call. Andy Bernard, Dave Matthews Band, no hits.
No hits. Ants marching.
Yep.
Yeah. Phyllis Lappin Vance, Susan Boyle, who was...
I dreamed a dream.
Yeah, the English woman who won.
She, Britain's
Got
Talent.
Oh, my God.
With the big voice.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
She's such a great singer. My impression was not very charitable. Yeah.
That's really good. Stanley Hudson, Barry White.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Malone, The Police.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
He has The Police cover band.
Angela Martin, The Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, yeah.
Toby Flenderson, Radiohead. Which is funny for some
it's like
I'm
the coolest band.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a creep. Yeah, it could be.
Kelly Kapoor, The Spice Girls. He's
yeah.
Ryan Howard, Blink-182.
Yeah, yeah.
Creed Bratton, good. Ozzy Osbourne. Mm. Yeah. Meredith Palmer, 2007 Britney Spears. Shaved head.
Oh,
Jan
really?
Levinson Gould.
Oh, gosh.
Couldn't pick one for Jan because I just kept imagining Joan Crawford. Mm-hmm. And the best one, Oscar. Oscar's not a band. He has a podcast.
Yes.
This American Life with Ira Glass.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yep. There it is.
That's really
great
good.
List. Thank you, Chloe. It. Thanks. For I can tell you
Thank
put
you
in
Chloe.
A lot of time there.
That's yeah. That's a really all, good one. That's a really fun. Again. We you know we love to see the alternate castings. If you have a twist or a variation on
Do a
it,
weird
like
one.
Yeah, we yeah. that's
we've
gonna,
had we've had yeah cartoon characters. We had the band. So
yeah.
We'll get yeah. some other ones that are
let's
interesting.
Let's do it.
We had someone send us a 90s sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
Casting right. that we'll get to at some point.
That's yeah. right. That's right. Alrighty.
Okay.
Time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! All right, so I pulled together some trivia here. This is random from a bunch of different episodes.
Good.
I had Michael versus Toby trivia from last week, but we already used that because we had to use it. So this one was just sort of... No real theme to this one, except
Great.
They're hard. These ones are hard.
Okay.
We learn after Michael and Donna break up that after his last breakup, how many calories did Michael eat in 3 hours after his last breakup?
32,000 or something like that, right?
40,000. Close. 40,000 calories in 3 hours.
But we didn't have any ice cream, Jim. So this is mayonnaise and black olives.
Family-sized chicken pot pie.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay. 40,000.
Toby, you already read this quote, so I'm going to ask this directly
okay,
to you.
Okay, all right.
Don't look at your notes.
I'm not.
Toby gives 5 reasons why they shouldn't be having the kids at the casino night. What okay. are those 5 reasons?
They're serving alcohol.
Yes.
There's gambling.
Yes.
It's a school night.
Yes.
Hooters is catering.
Yes.
It's in their dangerous warehouse.
Correct. Nice. 5 for 5. Very good. Staying in casino night. Phyllis beats Kevin with what hand?
Flush.
Yes.
I have all clovers.
All clovers. Kevin's devastated. Kevin loses with 3 queens. Yeah. He played the hand
I
right.
Suck.
But he has the glasses. The World Series of Poker bracelet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the last completely normal Kevin moments we get.
Yeah.
Is when Jim cashes out or something or loses.
Yeah.
And we see Kevin
like,
go,
Mr.
Jim Halpert.
Jim Halpert. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, in. In Joe Bennett's audiobook that we see mm-hmm. Jim editing, who does Joe see at the Buffalo Club? He says, the next time I saw blank was at the Buffalo Club, which leads to the I love you, you gay bastard quote.
Oh, well.
Who does she see
she's,
at the Buffalo Club?
Is it Truman Capote? Oh,
no.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Good guess, but no.
She mentions him another time.
Yeah.
In my head, this is wrong, but I don't know. It's like Paul Newman or something like that.
No. David Geffen.
Not Paul Newman.
I don't.
Because you would who never say, David, you wouldn't say David? That about Paul Newman.
Yeah, Paul no, Newman. You would not say that about Paul Newman. Who's David Geffen?
He's a record producer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big, he also, I think, co-founded DreamWorks
okay.
as well. So he's just a big, he's a billionaire. That's right. Okay. That's right. He's worth $9.1 billion.
It's a lot of guacamole.
It sure is.
I don't know why you mix it in such large quantities.
Yes. In the hay, or sorry, in Hay Place, a place for hay, how many bales of hay does Dwight use? He mentions the number. Did I truck blank bales
say
of hay?
1,200?
300.
Oh, I said
300.
Oh, wow. I went way over.
Did I truck 300 bales of hay to a parking lot to rectify some child disappointment?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
In the lecture circuit, Pam and Michael are driving, and Michael says he needs... Pam asks if she can turn on the radio, and Michael says, no, I need silence or blank to prepare.
Sam Kennison.
Yes, very good.
What is Sam Kennison?
He's a stand-up comedian from the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. That's good.
Where did Kelly Kapoor do juvie?
Oh, man.
What is the name of the facility?
Juvenile
detention.
April 95 to December 96.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It. Yeah.
It's a solid year and a half at Berks County Youth Center. Yeah. Berks County Youth Center.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Edwin
for
knew
a crime
it,
she did commit.
That's a tough one.
I know. Yeah. I can go as hard.
It's funny with these really specific ones. I usually like know it right away. Or
I
know.
Yeah,
I know that I don't know.
Yeah. Look, when you're in a shootout with Dixon City Janes, you can't get too high.
Dixon City Janes.
All right. What is the name of the angel that Stanley brings into the office?
Julia.
Yes, Julia. Very good.
Hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4 Splendors in your coffee standing. None you, Julia, because I don't know how you take it. 4 Splendors, are you out of your mind?
It's just how the song goes.
Pam and Michael blow off what branch to go see Holly?
It's not
Buffalo?
Utica.
During their lecture circuit. No, Buffalo? It's not Buffalo.
Syracuse?
No.
Yonkers?
No.
Albany?
No.
What else is there?
It's the one that like is always... It's never brought up, but it's there.
I don't know. What is it?
It's in New York.
Rochester. Right at the wrong time. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to count that for myself.
yeah, you should. Okay. When a couple Toby questions here. When we see Toby and Dwight sort of arguing about how fast they can run, and this is when Pam then has Dwight run around the building. We learn, what's Toby's mile time?
About 7.
About 7 minutes. That's correct. Upon hearing that mile time, Dwight claims that he outran what animal?
Black pepper steak.
Yes. Black pepper steak.
Wow.
Which I looked up. I don't think they're
I know. I looked it up because I was like, is that real? Like, not that long ago. Yeah.
It's a name for a different
To give you an
snake.
Idea, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose.
Yeah. Black pepper steak.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. Okay. Last question here. This is in sexual harassment. The CFO that resigned because of sexual harassment, what was that CFO's name?
Oh, man.
Dunder Mifflin. We just have the first name.
Is
it Reggie? Starts with an R?
You got the first letter right.
Yeah. Ronald?
You're getting closer.
I don't know.
It's not Randy, not Ronald, not Reggie.
Ryan.
Not Ryan. It's Randall.
Randall. Randall. Ah, dang it.
I did just say it's not Randy, but it is Randall. There you go.
All right.
All right. Well, that was great trivia. That was that was a really fun episode, and I hope that you guys listening at home, if there were things that, you know, like we said, if there were things we missed, favorite Toby Michael moments, please hit us up. We have a phone number.
Yappers.
503-694-9314. We have an email address, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company, and Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. And we have a website, michaelscottpod.com. Mm-hmm. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork. And this episode was recorded in the OG studio in the Ward Brother Residence in Portland, Oregon.
Whose house? Ward's house.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Please remember to rate and review the show. Helps us, helps people find the show. As always, yes, thank you for listening. Can't wait to see you again next week.
Do we know what we're doing next week?
Nah.
Tallahassee arc?
Ooh, Tallahassee. We're going to Florida next week, folks. Mm-hmm. Pack your sunscreen.
See that real Tallahassee.
That's righty.
We'll see you out there.
Give me the solid.
Yes, sir.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.